All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming to our mayoral debate that we are hosting. Today's debate is hosted by Pi Sigma Alpha, the Government Relations Council, the Utah State University College Democrats, Utah State University College Republicans, and the Institute of Government and Politics. So thank you all for being here today. And right now we have current Mayor Watts right here and Councilman Peterson, excuse me. And so we are excited to have you both here today. Before we get started, I want to introduce our panel, excuse me. We have Dr. Damon Kahn, who is a political science professor here at the university, and Matthew Jensen, who is a radio host and reporter for Utah Public Radio. And my name is Darren Frischnecht, and I am the student body advocate for the university. And so we are going to kind of do little introductions with both of the candidates. Oh, and this is Sandra. Sandra's going to be doing our time, and we'll have 90 seconds for each question and 30-second rebuttal. So right now I'd like to introduce each of the candidates. We have Dr. Craig Peterson. Craig Peterson was born in Logan and has lived here all of his life, except for 2 years in eastern the United States as a missionary and 4 years in California for graduate education. He has a Bachelor's of Science in Computer Science and Economics from Utah State University and a PhD in Economics from Stanford University. He is married to Mary D. Seiler, and they have 3 married daughters and 11 grandchildren. They also have a handicapped daughter, Jenny. Currently, Craig serves on the Cache County Council and has been council chair 4 times prior to his election to the council. He was a member of the Logan City Planning and Zoning Commission. Craig recently retired from a very rewarding career as a professor and administrator at Utah State University. While at Utah State University, he was vice provost, interim provost, and chief of staff to the president. He was also selected as Utah State University's Professor of the Year and has written 4 books dealing with management and government. He was employed by Utah State University to negotiate electricity and water and sewer contracts with Logan City and has testified as an expert witness on the electricity and telecommunications rate classes before Utah Public Service Commission. Thank you very much for being here today. And right here to my left, we have Mr. Mayor Randy Watts. Mayor Randy Watts was elected mayor of Logan on November 8, 2005, and took office January 3, 2006. He was reelected and began his second term in January 2010. Mayor Watts has lived in Logan all of his life. He attended Utah State University in 1966 and then left the university to enlist in the Air Force. Upon his return, he continued his education. He owns and previously operated JR Construction for 14 years. He was vice president of Cache Valley Builders, the family-owned business, for 15 years. He served on the Beaver Mountain National Ski Patrol for 21 years. He also served as vice president of the Sunshine Terrace Board of Directors and has served on the Zions Bank Advisory Board. He also served as president of the Utah State University Alumni and the Utah State University Board of Trustees, also member of the Old Main Society and the Big Blue Club. One of Randy's many hobbies is climbing mountains. He has climbed Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, Mount Rainier, Long Peaks in Colorado, several peaks in the Wind Rivers, and spent 35 days trekking in Nepal. Major Watts and his wife, Kathy, are proud parents of 4 children, and he has 6 grandchildren. All of his children are graduates of Logan High School and Utah State University. So with that, we are going to get started. Thank you very much. All right, so our first question for the afternoon is we just kind of want to have a better understanding of why you're running for mayor. So, Mayor Watts, if you would like to take that first.
Well, let me start off, and I don't know how many of you students have been following the papers or, you know, Craig and myself, how do we get our names out? What do we stand for and everything else? But what is going on in the city of Logan and basically in the valley is a water treatment facility that we're looking at. It's been mandated by the state of Utah. It's by the Department of Water Quality. And we have to change what we've used for 44 years. And it's the lagoons that we all know as you leave Logan on SR-30, 465 acres that are handling wastewater. Now we've got to look at a full-fledged lagoon treatment plant that's going to be about $111 million, could be up to $130 if we have to mitigate the lagoons itself. And I'm running for a third term because I'm right in the throat of this discussion with our United States senators, with the governor himself. Many people have looked at it, and we're lobbying the state now for monies. We're looking at $70 million from the state, and we'd like to do it with a no-interest loan. The biggest single impact that this valley will see as far as dollars, and it's going to affect every resident because it's going to be costly no matter how we go about it. So that's number one, and then I want to see them finish 10th West. We are going to do a ribbon cutting quick, but they've got to finish it out to 2,500, and there's three others, but I'm out of time. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm an avid reader, at least I was until I started this campaign. And one of my favorite books is a book that's written a long time ago by Lloyd Douglas. It's called The Magnificent Obsession. And it goes something like this. There were two individuals, one who was kind of a selfish jerk and the other who was a great humanitarian. And they were in different places on a lake, and they both had a heart attack. And in the area, they only had one resuscitator. And it happened that the selfish jerk was the one that got resuscitated and lived, and the other person, who was a great human being, ended up dying. And the jerk took a look at his life and decided, you know, I need to do something better. And the book talks about the concept of paying it forward. And in the book, it makes the following quotation, that good deeds should not be returned to the doer, but should be paid forward to people in need. And that's really my fundamental objective. I've lived in Logan all my life. This is a great community. There are a few things that I love more than Logan, Utah, and I want to pay it forward. As I look at the things I've done in my professional and civic career, and as I look at the things that a mayor does, there's really a pretty close coincidence. I'll probably talk about that later on, but as I look at things like the electric power, as I look at things like planning and zoning, as I look at things like administration and so forth, these are things that I have experience with. I'm convinced that I could step into the mayor's job and be effective almost from the beginning. Some of the large projects are projects that I'm familiar with, and I think we'll talk about those later on.
Thank you. We'll alternate who responds first, so you don't always have to be first or second. So the first response will come to you, Councilman Peterson, for this question. What do you see as the most pressing issue facing Logan City in the next 4 years?
Yeah. The most difficult, controversial decision is going to be the wastewater facility. It's the single largest project in Logan's history. Projected cost is $110 million. If the financing is as favorable as it could possibly be, it'll cost residents about $180 more a year in fees. That's going to be a critical issue. It's not one we can't avoid. This isn't something that we made a decision whether to do it or not. It's going to happen. It's been mandated by the Environmental Protection Agency. But the key is to make sure that we do it right, that we use the right technology, and that we finance it correctly. And I think it's going to be difficult for citizens because of the cost. It's also going to be difficult because of the technology involved. A longer-term issue, it would be the deterioration of some core neighborhoods. If you look at the periphery of Logan, the neighborhoods are pretty good. But if you look at the interior core of Logan, there's some difficulties with neighborhoods, and those need to be dealt with.
Like Craig just mentioned, number one is the treatment plant. The thing that's going on in the process, we've back and forth with this issue, whether I've done my due diligence, and like you, bios, I came in, I was elected in 2005. As soon as 2006 rolled in, it already became a discussion. It's been years and years of discussion. We've been working in collaboration with Utah State University with the algae studies that are going on. As we speak, there's a research facility set up out at the site, out on SR-30, Dr. Sims. We're still excited for what algae can do to this project, that maybe in the process it can be harvested and put in a digester. It could help offset some of the power costs to run this treatment plant. It's the right thing, and that's what we did in Washington for the years we were there, is basically give us some opportunity and time to really go down that road instead of building a full-blown treatment plant. Unfortunately, the TMDL of that total maximum daily load needs to be changed and needs to happen fairly soon. So that's why the treatment plant's coming into the construction phase. They're also very expensive to run because a lot of the mitigation of phosphorus and ammonia is done through through chemicals. So it, after it's built, then it's also going to be very costly to maintain it and keep it running.
Good morning, candidates. The next question comes from our student body. What steps can be taken to address traffic congestion on Main Street, along with maintaining road quality in Logan? And let's start with Mayor Watts.
Well, if you've noticed, right now, everywhere you go, there's a detour. And this, you know, it's all in process. We know how frustrated we were with I-15 as it was going through Ogden and over all of those overpasses. Logan's not I-15. But 10th West is one of those that I was really an advocate to push the UDOT and the UDOT commissioners to accomplish. And it really showed a good collaboration between the county and UDOT. Everybody stepped up because we took UDOT Road and brought it and started managing the roads. In return, UDOT took 10th West, $45 million project. The ribbon cutting will be November 1st, which is coming up. And the other thing that's going on, 2nd East, that's, from my view, is going to be huge. Some like it, some don't, but when it's all done, the citizens have had 9 years of studies on it. Tunnels are there for pedestrian movement. Bikes are going to be able to be accessible and movable on that road. Plenty of landscape. And it ties into 1st East that goes by the Riverwood Apartments. The other little things you're seeing is the PRV going on, that's pressure-reducing valves, to try to improve our infrastructure. And they're kind of spotted all over the community. We're in a hurry-up track because weather is changing quickly. And the one in front of the middle school, that's 10th West. I know a lot of you use that. We're trying to buckle that up. The contractor is a little bit behind. We always find more problems than we would hope underneath the roads, but we're moving it ahead and hopefully have that done in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Problem with traffic congestion in Logan is we're too late with too little, and I actually don't fault Mayor Watts on that. There are things that should have been done 10 years ago before the congestion levels got to where they are now, and we didn't do them. And when you try to solve traffic problems late, the options become much, much more limited because you've had growth that's constrained some of the things that we can do. One option that's being contemplated that may have some value is to transform 1st and 2nd East and 1st West and Main Street into one-way streets. That's been done in some other areas. What that does is facilitate traffic flow. It makes it so that you don't have to worry as much about left turn lanes. It provides some opportunities for parking. It provides some opportunities for express lanes and so forth. But one of the unique problems that Logan faces is this. Somebody the other day was telling me about a little community, and they turned their downtown into pedestrian-only areas. And it sounded great, you know, and they thought we ought to do that in Logan. The problem is that Main Street in Logan is not under our control. It's a state road. And so it's not a matter of the city simply saying, we want to do this, that we have to gain the acquiescence of UDOT. And although the one-way streets on 1st and 2nd East and 1st West could be done at a relatively low cost, doing that on Main Street is much more costly and much more restrictive. But those, I think, are our best options. We're never going to have a great solution, but those are probably the best chances that we have.
Mayor Watts, would you like to follow up to that?
Let's just talk about the bigger picture. You know, the city of Logan's small. Still, it's 50,000, and it is growing. But it's money. It really, everything is dollars. And sure, we would like to do more, and there's the CIP list of the things we want to accomplish. But it only is when the dollars can roll in to accomplish them, and that's that one-way couplet is fine 15, maybe 20 years down the road as populations double. But right now, it's just not a conceivable process because of the economics of it.
I have no response.
Okay. Kind of going along with cars and per se, this is a problem that students would see a lot, and I know that students have dealt with. So how do you plan to address the concerns of residents regarding to winter parking dilemmas on the city streets? Councilman Peterson, would you like to?
Yes. Repeat the question, please.
How would you plan to address the concerns of residents regarding the winter parking dilemmas on city streets?
Yeah, and those problems really are quite serious in some areas and much less so in others. You know, the problem is we have severe winters in Cache County, and we don't have, in many cases, enough parking. I don't know that there's a great solution to that. I know the city has made it possible for people to get on parking, on-street parking permits during the winter. Those solve some of the problems, but they have the difficulty of snow removal. And so, in a sense, you solve one problem with allowing parking. On the other hand, you create problems because the snow can't be adequately removed. People have talked about solutions such as parking terraces, but those are really prohibitively expensive. I think one solution would be that we need to rely more on mass transit. I did a study on the mass transit system a number of years ago, and using federal statistics, the conclusion was that on the average bus in Logan, this is about 3 or 4 years ago, that there are only 4 or 5 riders, but that's an average. And the use of transit as it comes to the university and away from the university is much different than that. The transit is very heavily used. So I think there may be some opportunities if we could have more shuttles, taking people from different areas of the community, and those shuttles could be set up so that they would be convenient to students, that might be a possibility, so that students would be able to not bring their cars to campus and not create some of the congestion problems that exist up in the Hillcrest area.
The area around Utah State University, we continually try to improve and work on it. Just the process of, I was born and raised in Logan and lived down below the university along the Boulevard area, and I've watched the transition happen between residential family, and now it's changed. And how has it changed that people become older, they retire? They pass away in the home, now is the family estate, and what do we do with it? Because family, the kids have moved. And then it opens it up to the rental. So they buy a home to build their assets, and then in the past, the city has made mistakes. We've taken those homes and let some pretty nasty things happen to them, and a lot of those older homes that have in those situations been grandfathered, meaning it was single-family set up, it was never set up to handle 6 or 7 parking lots. And that's kind of where the park strip stepped in. And we do issue a parking permit for those that have to park out on the road so that you're not ticketed during those snow removal times. The other process is that because of the close proximity to the residents, to the university, and you look at Blue Square and some of the projects happening, it comes with controversy because people live below them. But the bottom line is that we become more of a walkable community, a bicycling community. I think that's going to be the option. If you want to make it to class on time, probably best to do it on foot than try to find a parking and get a booting on your vehicle.
Yeah. Thank you. let's see.
Can I respond on the way?
Oh, yes, if you'd like to 30 seconds to respond.
Well, of course, the problem in Logan is walking and biking is more problematic in the wintertime. One of the problems is in the past with construction that facilities were allowed to be constructed without adequate parking. And it may have been adequate for the time, but times have changed in terms of, in particular, the number of students who have vehicles. And I think we have to make sure that with new construction that there's adequate parking that's required for those facilities.
Mayor Watts, would you like it?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Let's see. Then on this question, the first response, I think, goes to you, Mayor Watts. Along the lines of vehicular traffic, each winter for several days these days, the Cache Valley has the worst air quality in the country. It generates a fair amount of press coverage, and negatively so for Logan and for the Valley. What steps would you take in the next 4 years to help resolve or address the air quality crisis in Logan City?
I'll be really, there's so many issues with this. I just got through with a meeting. They're just finishing up travel-wise, came from the state. They're a UDOT. It's run by UDOT. And it's basically making choices travel-wise, and it says just what it is. I mean, I had a KSL individual come up, brought his camera. He wanted to interview me. It was during a red inversion, and he says, how are you going to fix it? I says, how did you get here? He says, well, I brought the van and a couple of people. Did you come in one van? Or no, there was a car that was a little late, so 2 vehicles came. I says, you're the problem. And truth, literally, you look in the mirror. Every one of you in here, myself, Craig, we're all the problem. We have to change habits. And the thing we need to change, we need to really seriously look at those when it's yellow, orange, and it turns to red now, it's nasty out there. We have to change what the standard is. We got to get up earlier. We got to use a bus. We got to walk. We got to do other things and try to leave the vehicle home and try to do grocery shopping maybe every third day and then every day. And mentally think about what you're doing because we're all impacting each other. I'm not for the emissions testing. I've been pretty much open on that. I think it. I understand why they did because of the government and the threats made that we were going to lose funding. I'm really back to the fact that we've got to do a better job, each of us individually, in changing our pattern.
I suspect that, with the exception of Dr. Randy Martin back here and Ed Redd, I've probably been as involved in Cache Valley air quality issues as anybody. I've been on the governor's air quality board for 7 years now. The Cache County Council passed an emissions control ordinance. I actually wrote the wording on that ordinance and helped move it through the council. It's not a panacea, but it does do something, and it's the most significant thing that we've done here in Cache Valley so far. It's not enough. It won't solve the problem. In fact, the difficulty with air quality is that overwhelmingly it's determined by climatic conditions, that this last year we had horrible air, the year before we had reasonably good air, and we can't really deal with that fully because of the climate. I have a couple of things that are coming down the pike that I think give me some hope, and that is that the Environmental Protection Agency has proposed what they refer to as Tier 3 emission standards for vehicles. They haven't been approved yet, but they're coming, and they would reduce emissions 90% below what they are right now, even below new cars. And over time, that could have a significant impact. The difficulty is the phrase over time, because what's going to happen is that as new cars come on board that are very, very fuel efficient and older cars go off, then the air will become cleaner. But that takes a long, long time. I think as a city, we need to make sure that our vehicles are clean. I think we need to promote people taking longer trips because the vast majority of emissions are produced in the early stages when a car is just warming up.
That I need to add to that, and the question was, and I didn't answer that exactly where I needed to be, what is the city doing? You know, it's important for, you know, we think of the valley, but we also think of our power department, and we've done quite a few things. I mean, we're reworking the turbines in the canyon. We've got a micro turbine on the DeWitt Springs line, and we're doing some vast improvements in buying vehicles, the $32,000 more for a solid waste truck is basically the increase on those diesel motors, and we're on board with all of those kinds of things. So I think that will also help.
This next question is, what will you do to foster a positive relationship between the residents of Logan and its police department? Craig, let's start with you.
Yeah. I have some concerns about that. I think one of the things that I would do is to make the operations of the police department more transparent. And here's what I'm going to suggest. The police department's unique because police have the capability of exerting such a potentially a significant influence on our lives. And I think that we need to make sure that what they do is, to the extent that it can be, open and transparent. So one of the things that I would like to do as mayor is to create a citizens advisory board. And that Citizens Advisory Board would look at the police department, would have some powers to do in-depth inquiries, and would have powers to make recommendations. I've had a lot of contact with Logan City policemen over the last few months, and they have some concerns. I've had a lot of contact with citizens, and they have some concerns. One of the things that I learned recently is that Logan City Police actually have a quota with regard to issuing citations. In fact, I have a copy of that. I didn't bring it today. And they're evaluated, at least in part, on the number of citations they issue. Now, I can see reasons for that, because you want to make sure that the police are doing their job. On the other hand, I can see potential abuses. And so what I would want to do is to make sure that the operations of the police department are sufficiently open that people really have a say, and that they're doing their job the way we want, and that they become facilitators of citizens and not simply the Gestapo.
Yeah, you know, there's one of those calls. I had the chief in my office the other, and I asked him flat out again, Have we got everybody on a quota that they have to do 5 to 7 tickets or whatever it is on their? No. This is what they tell them to do. You go out and do your job. And part of the job is to make sure that all of us are safe as we interact with each other. Now, you have to understand there's two calls happening. There are those that are upset because they've got that ticket, that huge ticket you'll get on 4th North if you go through that pedestrian walk as those kids are going to Adams School. That's going to cost you. But what is their job? We get calls from residents. When are you going to come up here and literally see what's going on in my neighborhood? They're going through it 40 miles an hour. And some of our major roads like 1600 East, 1500 East, now with the Deer Crest property coming down off that hill, down 1500, pretty high speeds. We're doing the best we can. We put the flasher that tells you what your speed is. We've talked about bumps. We've put the dips. We've done a lot of things, but people get in a hurry, and they're always ahead or behind, and they're in a hurry. The police department are 32 investigating officers, 32 uniformed officers in any given. There's about 7 to 9 that are on duty through the 3 shifts a day. They work 8 to 9 hour shifts.
Yeah, regardless of what you call it, I stand by my statement that there's a quota system for the police. I see it, and it's simply a list, and above a certain number of citations, they're rated as exceptional. Below a number of citations, they're rated as unexceptional. Again, there may be reasons for that, but I think we ought to take a pretty close look at it.
You know, I one more on this one. I visit once a month with the judge, with the city judge. Dave Marks is our city judge, and most of those that are they don't like him, they'll come to him, and they'll argue it in front of the judge. And he gives me a list of the things that are happening, how many DUIs we picked up, other things that we deal with in the city. And I guarantee you, on his list, like everything else, are we funding the courts because of the tickets written? Absolutely not.
Mayor Watts, this question will be, you will begin this question first. How do you plan on keeping a positive relationship between Utah State University and Logan City?
Well, you know, you've heard my bio. We owe a debt of gratitude to the university, the quality of life and everything that we have here. Where would Logan be? What would Logan be? It'd be a wonderful city, but look at the depth of what the university does for Logan. Some would say maybe we'd be a Preston, and Preston's fine. But the university, you look at the arts, and you look at everything that's going on, the depth is amazing. And with my affiliation as the alumni president, trying to bring in scholarship, trying to work. I meet with Stan about on a monthly basis at his home. We talk about what's going on up here, and I talk about some of the stresses that are going on with the apartments, with all of the housing issues. What can we do together, work together? How we can make sure that we work together with the USU Police Department, how we make sure that your corridors in and out of the university when it comes snow time of the year, that we meet your demands, because there are hills to the university. 12th and 8th are both some of those roads that are main corridors into the university. Of course, 89 is run by UDOT, but it's all a constant discussion, and we're right now in a power discussion with Utah State because of the cogen. We're right now working with a rate. We've been about 4 months, 5 months in this discussion trying to settle on where we're going to be in the future with our rates with Logan City and Utah State.
USU and Logan in a symbiotic relationship. USU is dependent on Logan, and Logan's dependent on USU. It's absolutely critical that relationship is effective. I think one advantage that I would have is I come from the university. I'm afraid to tell you how many years I lived here, but I worked here, but it was a lot of years. And 10 of those years, I worked in the provost and the president's office. I know how the university works. I know what the university's issues are. I know who the people are. I know what I think needs to happen in the future. One of the things that I would like to do is to somehow involve the university more with the downtown area. There may be another question on downtown, but one of my concerns is that we have a downtown that's not as vital as it could be. And one of the reasons it's not as vital is because it's not greatly frequented by students. Now, that's not your fault. This ought to be a situation where you go there if there's something there for you. The fact that you don't go and spend a lot of time in the downtown suggests that it really doesn't meet your needs. But I think that needs to change. I think the Downtown Alliance needs student representation. I think the Downtown Alliance needs to be more reflective, or at least what happens downtown needs to be more reflective of the kind of things that students want. So that's increasingly important. For the most part, I think the relationship between Utah State and Logan has been a good relationship, much more positive than in many other communities.
Yeah, just to add to the downtown, I don't know, it might come in a question later. I don't know if it's on your list. But just quickly, we've been, my administration, we've been working with Matthew Godfrey. He's the previous mayor of Ogden. He, three terms, 12 years he spent with Ogden. He's the one that basically revitalized the downtown area, and you that understand that. He's come to Logan. He calls his city, his company, Better City, and they're looking at how we're going to bring some new energy to downtown between 2nd and 3rd North.
Yeah, maybe just one other comment. I spent a fair amount of time in Fort Collins, and if you go downtown in Fort Collins, it's alive with university students who are down there. There's just kind of a vibrancy about it. We've never been able to achieve that in Logan. I wish we could. I've always been a little surprised, too, at the lack of commercial development around the university, and that's a little bit problematic simply because of the nature of the zoning, but what happens is you actually have to go off campus a fair distance before you really get into commercial types of activities. I think we ought to look for some opportunities for more commercial development that surrounds the campus.
Moving a little bit in the direction you've already pushed us with your responses on that question, both downtown and in the larger Logan community, in what ways would you as mayor promote business and economic growth in Logan and the greater Cache Valley area?
My first?
Your okay. First.
Yeah. I'm particularly concerned about the downtown. Downtown used to be the economic center of Logan. It's not now. That's spread out, and that's not unusual. That happens in many, many communities. But if you look at the downtown area right now, about 38% of all the activities are government and finance and real estate. About 27% is retail. I think we need to bring more retail into downtown Logan. To do that, though, we have to, that's going to take an aggressive effort. What we need downtown is restaurants that are more exciting. I think there needs to be a chain restaurant simply because they bring immediate excitement. I think there needs to be, hopefully, a hotel downtown. It would be nice if we had a theater downtown. But I think one of the problems with the downtown area is that, remember in the past economic downturn, we talked about businesses that were considered too big to fail. I think one of the problems we have in the downtown is we have businesses that in some cases are too small to succeed. And what we need downtown is to find some type of an anchor business, and that probably is going to require some type of property consolidation. It will require either that we take some areas of downtown that are not as developed and bring in those types of businesses, or to take smaller business and somehow amalgamate them. At the same time, I think we need to be very, very concerned about the expectations we have from the city, because the city's opportunities in economic development are limited. Fundamentally, what causes a community to develop are private entrepreneurs and people who are willing to take risks and have ideas. And so we have to look primarily at those entrepreneurs to do that. The city can facilitate it. We just have to make sure the city doesn't frustrate activity.
In comment to downtown, Dr. Peterson has mentioned maybe a bigger property being consolidated to something bigger. I think that would be the wrong vision. First of all, you've got traffic issues downtown. I think to capitalize on what Fort Collins is like is that you've got to maintain the smaller stores. What happens when government does, we have to be involved because everybody's looking for some incentive. The downtown itself, a lot of the improvement has been done with businesses in the city cooperating, the sidewalk improvement, the coach lighting, cooperation with the LDS Church around the tabernacle, improvement of that parking lot that's used during the week for other things other than church. And then just the Bluebird, iconic restaurant that's been there for a long, long time, and we worked with them to make sure that they could get ADA. And so we put an elevator in. We helped them financially accomplish that through an RDA downtown. the RDA downtown is alive and well. The improvements in the back of the copper mill, in cleaning it up and bricking it and putting a better entrance into it, happened through an RDA. So many businesses are saying, how can you help us? Because we're dealing with blighted property that needs some incentive, and it's done through tax increment. And I believe it works. And Joann's and Chuck-O-Rama and the Beehive Grill are all testaments to how you improve the in downtown area and the character of it.
The advantage of some property consolidation, whether or not it be in areas that are not developed or some smaller stores, is that it creates an anchor that draws people, and what that does is actually to help the other smaller stores. The majority, vast majority of them are still going to be there, but it creates an additional inducement for people to come. And, you know, it's not just a matter of if you build it, they'll come. There has to be something that's really there that caused people to come.
Okay, two-part question, gentlemen. First, how do you define fiscal responsibility in running a city? And how would you implement fiscal responsibility in running Logan? I think we're starting with Mayor Watts.
Well, some say, well, what are you running on? I'm running on 8 years. That's what I'm running on. I've given 8 years to this city. I'm a businessman. I'm from the private sector. Ran my own business and helped my father in a lumber business that he started in 1944. The checks and balances have to be in the private sector. You cannot survive without a profit margin. And you've got to meet a payroll. You've got to pay for the goods coming in. And when I first came into the city, I didn't like what I was seeing. I mean, talk about individuals that are 8:39. When do you actually come to work? I want people to come to work. I expect myself to be there, and I'm there before 8 o'clock every morning to make sure that I'm there setting an example. I've changed that process. And then just making sure that the city moves ahead. When you look at the financials of this country, especially cities, we're sitting one of the strongest cities in the country financially. And it's because of an administration and taking a proactive approach to taking control of what the costs really are. 18 positions have been removed from the city of Logan, and it was done through attrition, meaning individuals. Basically, they retired. We did not replace them. In my own office, I replaced two individuals. There was a city administrator that the previous mayor had hired. I let him go, and my secretary now is not only my secretary, but she's the city recorder. That in itself has saved $147,000 to the taxpayers.
I think one of the best things that I learned in my study of economics is the concept of benefit-cost analysis. And it's a concept I've used not just professionally, but in my private life. When you're looking at an activity, whether or not to do it, look at the benefits versus the cost and making sure that the benefits exceed the costs. And those benefits aren't always dollar benefits. In some cases, they're non-monetary benefits, such as health and so forth. But I think that's a good test, is to look at benefits and costs on every single activity. And I think it's a way of looking at things, not only things that you're contemplating doing, but also things that have been done. And one of the things that I would do is to apply that concept and look at city activities and make sure that that they pass the benefit-cost test. The other aspect that I think is particularly important is when you're dealing with taxpayer funds, the level of responsibility increases, and you have to have a level of transparency. And that level of transparency has to extend out to people who want information. I would welcome the press. I would welcome individuals to come and look at the city's books. And I actually applaud Mayor Watts. I think Logan's a well-run city, and I would certainly continue that. I think as you look at what a city does, that it has to be somewhat evaluated in terms of the nature of the community. And what a city reaches out to do has to be at least somewhat preconditioned by the people and what they can afford, and that we need to live within our means. One of the themes of my campaign has been, I'll always be careful with your tax dollars, because they're not generated by the city. They're generated by individuals.
All right, Councilman Peterson, you just kind of hit on some government transparency. And I was just wondering, how will you increase that between Logan residents and the mayor's office if you are elected? And this will be for you as well.
Yeah. Well, one of the earlier questions we talked about had to do with the police. And I advocated a citizens advisory board to look at police operations. I think there could be some other opportunities for that as well. I think obviously the city's books are open. The city has periodic audits. We certainly continue to do those. But the other thing is it has to do with access. And one of the things I'd like to implement is a triage system with regard to citizens. Sometimes citizens make complaints, and if the citizens aren't important, those complaints get buried, and they don't see the light of day. The triage system would be that I would invite people to initiate complaints to the mayor's office, not that I would handle them individually, but at least they would start with the mayor's office. We'd have a record of the complaints. We would ask somebody to deal with them, and then we'd get a report back so that we know that what happens isn't simply a product of who is complaining, but has to do with the merit of the complaint. I'm really committed to the notion that every citizen matters, and whether or not you make $1 million or whether or not you're someone who's just barely scraping by, that your concerns are important.
You know, my view has always been I have an open door policy, and some of the campaigns gone that were, I'm not reachable. I think I'm more reachable than most individuals. I'm old school. Email is not for, I email. I don't do a lot of email. I do a lot of phone calls, and I do a lot of one-on-one. If it's a problem, I says, you know what, I can't solve this on the phone. I know you're really upset. I'm going to get in my vehicle, and I'll come up, and we'll look at it. And sometimes I find them basically fabricating some of it because now they wanted something done, and, in fact, we'd already been through their picking up green waste or whatever. You know, the other part of this question is, how do we become more transparent? The neighborhood was set up by our administration. Every school has a leader that represents the neighborhood, so we do it through our elementary schools. We would like to see more participation. Some schools are really, really good as far as their neighborhoods. Wilson's pretty good. The best is probably the Hillcrest neighborhood's really good. Adams comes out in numbers to let us hear of the concerns they have. That's transparency, and it's moving ahead. We just need to continue to do a better job to make sure that we publicize it and they understand that there's a place that they can come and vent. But I think we've done a good job as administration. There isn't anybody, whether they be at any level of the pay scale, have not been taken care of. And I can show that in a box. I've got all of the signatures. I sign it when I called them back, and there isn't anybody who can say I haven't returned my phone calls. Thank you.
Okay, Mayor Watts, this question comes to you first. I'd like to ask a question about the D word, density. In a number of ways, especially student-centric development such as Blue Square, the mixed-use development near the stadium, and in other areas of the city, Logan City has been increasing the level of density, which in some ways may put stress on student-community relationships or USU relationships. What can the city do or what should the city do to help aid as development comes in that's student-centric to keep good relationships between the student body and the other members of the community?
You know, that's an ongoing discussion that has been going on all year at the city council. Mike Desimone, our community development director, every one of our council meetings is going through the codes. Basically, it's being redone again. It was approved. Jay Nilsson was our previous community development director, wanted to finish it before he retired. It was looked at. It needed to be looked at in more detail. It didn't happen, and the council went ahead and approved it, and then afterwards some density issues came up. Community came up in arms about it. But what happens? The bottom line is density is just the nature of the beast for Logan. Our boundaries are now, we're locked. North Logan's where it's at. We did a little boundary adjustment here recently down along Main Street, which will improve both, I think, cities as far as commercial growth. But the residential, we've got to protect it. And density is what's going to do it. Because unless we start going up, we're going to go ahead and continuing to beat up the residential's neighborhoods. And it's also going to affect our elementary schools because we want families to be raised in areas that were built for families, meaning parks, closeness to school. All of those things are conducive to family and raising families. University, we got to find that balance. But Logan's definitely going up in the inner blocks of Logan. The old pioneer blocks in the inner core of Logan have changed, and they're not going to come back. The cul-de-sacs are showing up, and all of that open space is now being eaten up with places to live?
Ultimately, market conditions will determine what developers want to build, although that's clearly affected by what they're allowed to build based on zoning ordinances. I have some concerns about the high-density developments. They clearly have adversely affected some neighborhoods. But another concern is has to do with the prospects for the university. For many years, I was the director of analysis, assessment, and accreditation here at the university, and what our job was to actually put out the numbers of the university. And, of course, the university experienced a small decline in enrollment this year, but for many years, the university has been stagnant in terms of the number of students. People say Utah State's grown dramatically, but if you look at that, the growth is happening in online areas and around the state. The on-campus enrollment at Utah State is not very great. And so I'm wondering a little bit about the demand. And here's the concern that I have, that as large developments take place, whether or not they'll be viable, they'll be able to fill them, but if they fill them, what's going to happen is because the number of students is the same, that those students will leave other rental properties that they're in, and over time that those rental properties will tend to deteriorate, and that by densifying in one area, that the outcome and the consequence is this law of unintended consequences. The consequence will be there are other areas of Logan where properties deteriorate because they're having more difficulty renting them.
You know, and it was mentioned when I was on the Board of Trustees and working with Kermit Hall at the time, he brought in, of course, the Living Learning Center on campus, huge, huge project, not only the parking structure and how that whole thing was structured. I understand what he wanted to do, the process was to basically make it easier for all of you to get to class, and living on campus has its caveats. It makes things life easier. But the bottom line is that when they built the Living Learning Center, they really thought the Richards Hall and some of the older areas would basically not be used. And I haven't heard that there's been any decrease. Pretty much the campus housing is continuing to be full across the campus, which tells me that we're just going to have to work together because there's still demand out there. Marketing is showing that there's still demand for these apartment houses to be built.
Although I would note that the two high-rise towers, it's become increasingly difficult to put students in those, and those are being converted to office space for good reason. They were terrible places to live. But
One more question before we'll invite you each to make a closing statement. The last question that we'll pose is, what is your favorite thing about living in Logan? Councilman Peterson, I think this one comes to you first, and then Mayor Watts.
There can't be a single favorite thing. I like everything about living in Logan. But fundamentally, I guess it has to be the people. In fact, as I was thinking about what I wanted to say here today, one of the thoughts that came to me, and this is going to sound like I'm pandering to students, but I'm really not. This is actually the truth. When I go down into a restaurant in Logan City, usually the person who waits on me is a student. When I go into other areas where they don't have student populations, obviously they're not. And what I see is just a difference. You know, they know they're there for a period of time, and it's an absolute delight. In fact, typically I have a conversation, what are you studying at USU, how much longer have you got, and so forth. And often what I experience is people who have taken my classes. And it's not just in restaurants. It's in all kinds of stores in Logan that the kind of the level of competence and desire to serve and pleasantness is just different than I see in other places. So I like the interactions. Years and years ago, I went to Czechoslovakia. It was 1992, and they were just emerging from communism. And in Czechoslovakia, when you walked past people in the street, they would look down and away from you. There was no eye contact whatsoever. It's almost impossible because the people didn't know who you were and what you were going to do to them. Here, it's quite different. It's a situation where people are friendly and alive and vibrant, and I enjoy the interaction with the people.
You know, sometimes you ask, why the increase in the valley? Population has increased. It's been gradual. I'm glad it isn't a boom, just boom, boom, and you got to build quickly. It's been gradual. But what we have in this valley, many people don't have, and they want it. And it's basically the geography of the valley. Sometimes it becomes the very negative during the air quality time of the year. But the beauty is all around us, and there's not a student in here that if you need to be away from and you need quiet time, you can do it in 5 minutes. You can be all by yourself in 5 to 10 minutes and hit one of the canyons and take a walk that go take you all day long. We're the safest metropolitan area in the country. And then why does that happen? No, we've back and forth with police. It's people. And I tell you what, we've got a community, and that's not Logan, it's everybody. It's the entire community that's concerned about somebody else's child, about something that doesn't look right, that we get calls, the 911 have many of those calls and find out that it wasn't that big a deal, but thank goodness they're calling. And that makes the standard and the quality of life amazing. We know of other cities that say, gee, how now the dangerous, most dangerous city in the country is St. Louis. I can't imagine the other night with both the World Series and a football game going on what actually happened for the police, but I'm sure they had their busy night. Things are good here in Cache Valley. And, again, I just applaud the individuals that live here that are concerned with each other. And we could make money, more money somewhere else, but the quality of life is the reason people stay here.
All right, if you two would like to do closing statements, now is the time. Mayor Watts, we'll go with you first.
Well, some say, you know, a third term. Why? My dad taught me when I was a kid. I mean, he was driven into me, and I talk about making sure that our employees, that there's accountability. Dad made sure that we as kids growing up, accountability. I've had a lot of things on my plate. Some have said, well, gee, he said he's only going to run for two terms. I don't know back when if I'd said that or not. But the bottom line is I have a list of things that are still I'm just ingrained into that I want to see done. And, yeah, it would be easier to say, gee, two terms is fine, and I move into the retirement sector. But I'm willing to give 4 more years to this community, and I believe my track record proves that I will be I'll be careful with your money. I've proven that, that accountability is very important. And the bottom line is, if it isn't broken, why change it? If you were stockholders and you wanted and you had a good return on your stock, and now they're having a stockholders meeting, and they take the administration and say, what are we going to do with the administration? Should we dump them? Should we bring in a new CFO and a CEO and all of that? Or do you hang on to them? I would think the answer would be because of our administration has proven we're careful with dollars, and you would retain us. So that's what I hope will happen in the elections coming up.
You know, the issue isn't whether Logan's broken. It's not broken. The issue is whether or not we're getting the maximum number of miles per gallon out of our vehicle that we possibly can. And I think I bring a different perspective. I think one of the things that happens is when you have individuals in office for a long time, they make the very best decisions that they can. And often those decisions were the best decisions at the time. But I think that when we make decisions, we become wedded to those decisions. And sometimes we're not able to evaluate them as even-handedly as we could. I think there's an opportunity to come in and look at them from a different perspective with a different personality and a different set of skills. And I think that can be extremely valuable. I just have one other comment I want to make. And that is, when I got into this campaign, I had kind of one fundamental core value, and that was that when I finished, that whether I won or whether I lost, I was going to be proud of what I've done. And that was more important to me than the actual outcome. And so what I've tried to do is to run a very positive campaign. And I'm going to suggest that Mayor Watts has done the same. I have no complaints whatsoever. But I think that's critical. The other thing is, you know, some have tried to make this election an East Logan versus West Logan. And Randy and I both live in Eastern Logan, so we're the East part. But others have said, you know, you won't represent the West part. Well, first of all, I grew up down in the Adams neighborhood, but I really think that's a bogus issue. And I think it's a bogus issue for me and also for Randy, that we'll both represent all of Logan. As a mayor, what you do is you look for the situations that need real help, and you pursue those. With regard to that also, people have said, well, you know, students don't vote, so nobody pays any attention to them. Well, I come out of a lifetime of dealing with students. I love students. I appreciate you. And your interests are important to me. And it is a reality, an unfortunate reality, that you are less likely to vote. But if I'm mayor, that doesn't mean that I still won't have your interests at heart, because this has been my professional life. And I know what you experience in class. I know what you experience in your lives. And I want to help you have a positive experience at Utah State for two reasons. One, because it's the right thing to do, but also because that's best for Logan. Because, again, I said USU and Logan have this symbiotic relationship that we can only succeed together.
Thank you, Councilman Peterson and Mayor Watts, for joining us today. If everyone would please join me in a round of applause for them. I just wanted to remind all the students and everyone in attendance here that early voting is currently open until Friday, November 1st, and that is at the Logan City Hall building. And Election Day is next Tuesday, November 5th. And there are various polling locations around Logan, but the closest to the university is in the Lundstrom Student Center. So thank you very much for attending all today.